Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier. Game on. Go.
We go straight to Portrush because the Open Championship takes place on Thursday. Tees off. I'm delighted to say that we have Gary Murphy and Greg Allen both on the line. Gentlemen, how are we?
Very well, Hugh.
Good, Hugh.
Good. What's the atmosphere like around Portrush?
I don't know. How do you describe atmosphere on radio?
Tell us what the pubs are like, Greg.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was in the Bushmills Inn last night, and that's kind of one of the places you have to go to here to experience something of what this part of the world is like, because it's a beautiful inn in the town of Bushmills, obviously, and surrounded by, and you know, as wonderful as all of the west coast of Ireland is, this is a stunning part of the world. It just, you have to do the drive. If you like driving on coastline, whether you've done Route 1 or Route 66 or Route 101 in California, gosh, if you don't do this one, you're missing out on one of the great coastal drives of the entire world.
Okay, so I've managed to kind of gather bits and pieces from today in terms of players turning up. Tiger Woods, we know, is out on course. I'll come back to him in a few minutes' time because I saw a fascinating swing of his that really would worry anybody in terms of backing him for the Open, if you have such a mind. I want to play this clip, Gary and Greg, of Brooks Koepka, the form player in the world right now. 1-2, 1-2, not his dance rhythm, but his record in the last four majors. This is what he had to say today about his practice routines ahead of golf tournaments.
I just practice before the majors. Regular tournaments, I don't practice. When, if you see me on TV, that's when I play golf.
There you go, Gary Murphy. You've been doing it wrong your entire life. Don't practice except just for the majors.
Yeah, there's probably much gold in that, to be honest, Hugh, because the modern day pro is over practiced. They have information coming out of their eyeballs, and maybe he has found the secret. Maybe the new way to do it is to not to practice. But I think at times there can be a different sense of anticipation with that, and you leave everything out in the golf course. And that's what he's been famous for the last couple of years. He's awful in regular events, but he's been phenomenal in the majors. I actually followed around his game today for about three or four holes. He was out with Ricky Fowler and Dustin Johnson and Nate Lashley, and yeah, he did look really impressive. Fowler looked impressive too. Dustin Johnson is back with Claude Harmon, is back looking after him again. They had a little bit of a lover's tiff. Koepka is kind of that powerhouse emotionally at the moment, and he's trying to feed off that, and it's doing him endless amount of good, really.
Yet, Greg Allen, Rory McIlroy is the favourite for many people to go out and win this, which just beggars belief, given he hasn't won a major in 5 years. Why do you think that is?
Well, because he shot 61 around here as a 16-year-old.
That was 20 years ago.
Well, not quite. It was just the 14 years ago. Let's just obviously add together why that's the case. Yeah. Firstly, he's very consistent this season. He's won twice this season. He's in the top four of the world rankings for the last, you know, 4 months. Now, which means that he's at the top table. He's not number eight in the world anymore. He's got this feeling that he's going to be a player every time he turns up at a major. Yes, everything you say about what he turns up to majors with in terms of, you know, settling his mind into the task is probably suspect. I don't think he'd argue with that himself. I think the reason he's favourite is because of the familiarity of the turf, the fact that he has shown it with that 61, that he loves Portrush. Loving Portrush might just be very, very important this week. I also think that possibly the fact that the course is extremely green. We saw Rory finish tied second in Carnoustie last year when, you know, Carnoustie played like a car bonnet. It was so firm. But when it gets extremely lush and green, and we know that Rory won his one Open Championship on an extremely lush and green course in Hoylake, in Royal Liverpool, in 2014, that those conditions really do suit him. So, you know, take away the fact that he does seem to have a problem getting his best out of himself at majors, as a player with the familiarity he has here, I think he's, I don't know, you can't make him favourite. Brooks Koepka's the favourite. You just have to make Brooks Koepka the favourite.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can see why he's favourite.
Okay, so tell me about the
course. Don't agree with it.
Tell me about the course setup then, guys. I mean, Gary, you said you walked it today. How is it playing?
It's playing very well. It's playing very fair. The rough is heavy, but the fairways are wide. They're quite generous. There's a lot of angles on tee shots. And I guess as we saw at Lahinch, that, you know, the big issue and the elephant in the room is equipment and the distance the ball goes. It goes too far. These guys are too fit and all of that. But a lot of the angles will take the kind of the gorilla aspect out of it. And I think, you know, you'll need a lot of accuracy and guile along with the nerves to do well. But the course is sensational. It's, you know, as you walk around it with the grandstands and everything, it, you know, it totally fits into that type of an Open Championship.
What's your reading of Tiger Woods, gentlemen? I don't know if you saw the swing I was talking about earlier on where he just didn't look comfortable at all. Now, maybe that was just one bad swing and he was starting out. I don't know the context behind it, but certainly Paul McGinley is on record this week as saying he cannot understand how Tiger has not played competitively between the Masters and the US Open and then the US Open and the Open Championship. Clearly, he's not as young and supple as he once was, but that is not a lot of golf at all over the last couple of months.
3 months he's played the PGA, the Memorial and the US Open, and that's it. You know, he spoke today about the schedule that he's playing at the moment, which is clearly one that's geared towards being fit for the majors and in his best shape physically for the majors. But the big question mark is his sharpness in terms of his competitive skills. You know, it's one thing doing it in a practice round, it's another thing doing it in the hot temperature of a competition. He clearly didn't have it at the PGA. I think that course was just too big for him in Bethpage. In Pebble Beach, I just don't think he looked sharp, not even close to being as sharp as he needs to be. I think what he's trying to do is something like, and you can certainly bracket Tiger Woods in the same territory as Ben Hogan, you know, because Tiger Woods is arguably the greatest player of all time, and so too is Ben Hogan in different eras. Ben Hogan in 1953 played 6 tournaments, won 5 of them, 3 of them majors. And I think he's actually trying to conjure up that particular sort of mojo into his own career now. Because as he said today in the press conference, he wants to keep playing for a long time. And if he plays too often, he will not be playing for a long time because his body is telling him that it's not what it used to be, very obviously. And that he can't play the same level of tournaments that he played last year. He said last year he just played too many tournaments, but he had a reason to play tournaments last year because he wanted to get into the world's top 50. He wanted to get into all the majors automatically. So he had to play tournaments to get to that level, but now he's the world number 5, so he doesn't have to worry about his ranking anymore to get into the big events. And thereby, he can now choose to do what he wants to do. And this is what he chooses to do because he wants to have a long career, or as long a career as he can possibly have in his 40s.
Finally, Gary, then Shane Lowry. We know he wasn't quite feeling himself during the Irish Open. He shot a very good first round and then a very good last round as well. Is he in a decent place, do you think, and have a real go at this Open Championship?
I think he is. And his caddy, Brian Martin's back in the bag, which, you know, no doubt will be a help to him. Obviously, he wasn't there for the Irish Open, but, you know, he would swap a performance in an Irish Open for an Open Championship. It's a huge stage for Lowry. He's got a great draw, you know, a marquee group. He's out with Mickelson, and if he can drive the ball well, I think he's got a serious chance. His putter has behaved probably better this year than it has in recent years, and if he can just find a kind of a fairway finder tee shot, because it's going to be very difficult to play this golf course out of the rough, and there's absolutely no reason why Lowry can't have a massive week.
Yeah, and he has to avoid the 75, because he's had 75 in his first rounds of the last two majors. I spoke to him today, Hugh.
Yeah.
Everything about his game he feels comfortable with.
Brilliant.
But most importantly, he feels comfortable with his mental approach. I think he's just got into a zone this season since winning in Abu Dhabi, since the other good finishes, the second place in the Canadian Open, the third place in the Heritage. He now feels like he belongs, not at the very top table, but, you know, at the table beside the top table in golf. And that's huge for a confidence player, an emotional man like Shane, who thrives when the confidence flows through his system, perhaps more than other players who, you know, manage to cut off the nerve endings when they go into tournaments. So I think you're going to find in Shane's career that there'll be times when he'll flow into a tournament with just the right sort of form to have a chance. And then after that, you know, he's not going to try and predict what he's going to do. He's just going to try and let that wonderful talent of his flow for 4 rounds. And maybe we will see Shane on Sunday, you know, close enough to be able to challenge. Maybe not right up at the top, but you know, the thing about Shane as well is he has everything to challenge this week. He knows that. And that the biggest thing about the season he's had is that the confidence that I think he's always sought since he won the Irish Open in 2009 as a professional. We saw flickers of it, more than flickers of it in 2015 and 2016. I think he's got enough confidence to be a real factor this week, but he has to get off to a sub 71 start.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Gary, any truth in the rumour you've been giving Phil Mickelson advice? No?
No.
He's lost
no.
15 pounds in the last 10 days, apparently, to reset his body. I just thought he might have taken a leaf out of the Gary Murphy lifestyle book.
No, not at all. But you should read you should read a chapter yourself.
I should, actually, yeah. I wouldn't get it going with you guys to the Golf Writers dinner tonight as well. 14 courses in the first half an hour.
Well, hang on, Hugh. You and David Gillick were comparing pecs at the start of this program, which must be a first for any RTE
boobs,
radio broadcast.
Comparing boobs, Greg.
No, No. I heard the words pecs.
We're trying to big up ourselves here. Listen, enjoy both the dinner tonight, guys. And Greg, you'll have Doug Ferguson with us tomorrow night. So we're looking forward to that. Thanks, Mayan.
See you, guys.
See you, Dave.
Cheers.
See you,
bye-bye.
Good stuff, yeah. I mean, are you excited about it this week?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Port Rush, the last time I was up there, I went up to actually watch the Northwest 200, all things.
Very
and
good.
As Greg was saying, it is a phenomenal part of the country. It really is. And I suppose, you know, one thing that it can play is the elements, you know, with the weather and the things can change. But what an event to have on the island of Ireland, like, you know. Yeah, it really is.
It's incredible. No, it is. And I just, you know, I'm so glad to hear that Shane Lowry feels his game is in great shape, because there wouldn't be a more popular winner. I just would love to see him go and get a major.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone would, you know. Yeah. I think he's the type of guy that I don't know what it is about him, but he resonates with all of us. And
does.
I think, you know, everyone, whether you're into golf or not into it, like, everyone knows who Shane Lowry is, and I've tracked his career and stuff like that, and the lad is talented, phenomenally talented.
Massive.
But it's like any sport, you want to see that talent come through. You want to see that person just realise their potential, and hopefully, you know, wouldn't it be great?
It'll be super, yeah. As I said, Doug Ferguson is going to join Greg tomorrow, and we're going to preview with a few more press conferences taking place in the morning as well. We might get to the thoughts of McIlroy and Lowry.
Game on 2FM.